If you would, please, we want to take our Bibles out again, this time turning back to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. These last several weeks, we have been considering the instructions of James concerning the taming of the tongue and the fact that we are called upon to make and implement a bridle for our tongue so that we do not enter into sinful speech. And as we considered this, we are, of course, looking at some of those areas where we do not want our tongue to go down the path of. And let's take up our reading again as we have here the text before us in James 3, beginning with verse 9, these words. He says, "With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water." Let's now join together in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we bow before you now as again we come to your holy word. And Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is through the instrumentality of your word that your Spirit drew us efficaciously and irresistibly to your Son. We thank you, Father, that your word is that word that nourishes us as your people, that feeds us, that we might grow and mature, and that we might become more like your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask you, dear Father, that as we look to your word today, you would give us a fresh awareness of the work and ministry of your Spirit. May He come afresh, applying your word to our hearts, that we might be faithful, that we might be conscientious and informed of these various pitfalls, sinful acts that we are so susceptible to in terms of the use of our tongue. We pray, Father, that indeed you would forgive us for those times when we have failed and we have faltered. And Lord, we cling to your grace, and we are grateful that while we all stumble in many ways, your grace is sufficient. And there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We thank you for that, O God. And may again we pray that those apart from Christ would be drawn to him through the ministry of your word. And we ask this in Christ's holy name. Amen. These last few weeks, we have been talking about various forms of sinful speech. We have noted, of course, from this very text of Scripture, the seriousness of sins of the tongue. What you say is of great significance. Words do have weight. As someone has said, we sometimes talk about, talk being cheap. Well, in another sense, talk is not cheap. Talk is a serious matter, and it can be very costly. We have considered already a couple of different examples of sinful speech. We've talked about blasphemous speech, for example. What is blasphemous speech? Well, it is to speak irreverently are carelessly concerning God, His person, His precepts, or His providences. That is how He deals with us. We said, secondly, another form of sinful speech is false speech, fallacious speech. What is fallacious speech? Well, it is to deliberately speak anything contrary to the truth. False witnessing, lying, exaggerating, deceiving, all of that is false speech. Now, this morning, I want to take up a third example of sinful speech. And in fact, we're going to be looking at this in two different parts. This morning and next time we take up this topic. What is that third category? Well, it's what I am calling malicious speech. Or you could use the term hateful speech. And I want to look this morning, first of all, in the subcategory of malicious speech to the sins of gossiping, tale-bearing, and whispering. And then next time I want to consider under malicious speech the sins of slandering, backbiting, and scornful speaking. Now, all sins of the tongue related to malicious speech have common characteristics, and they are to be identified as such. It is that they either have a desire to harm others or a disregard for the potential harm our speech may have to others. Secondly, they also have in common that it is a speech where we are talking about other people. And so that's really the thing I want you to consider when we talk about malicious speech. So having considered that, let me first of all share with you, in this category of gossiping, whispering, and talebearing, a simple definition or description of this sin. Concerning gossip, what is gossip? Gossip is the sin of spreading rumors about other people. It's often personal, it's often sensational, and can be very destructive and harmful for that other person. Whenever we use the word whispering, which is a word we're going to see in a little bit that's found often in the Bible, talking about this same idea of maliciously talking about others, whispering has to do with the manner in which this kind of speech is often done. It is done secretly. It's a sneaky kind of speech. And so the Scripture describes it as whispering, going up along someone in private where no one else can hear and whispering, "Did you hear this about so-and-so?" And so it's a description of the manner in which it takes place. It's sneaky, it's secret, and it is in a manner that is undermining someone else. A third word that is often associated with this is tale-bearing. And some versions of the Bible actually translates the words there for gossip as tale-bearing. Tale-bearing has to do with the manner in which this gossip is conveyed. A tale-bearer is someone who goes from person to person bearing a tale. And they go from place to place. There's an activity. There is an engagement of themselves to spread gossip by going around from place to place. They are bearing a tale to others. One commentator has said this concerning the language that we're talking about here, and I'll just read from this commentator. The Hebrew word translated gossip in the Old Testament is defined as, quote, one who reveals secrets, one who goes about as a talebearer, or a scandal monger. A gossiper is a person who has privileged information about people and proceeds to reveal that information to those who have no business knowing it. Now, a question we might want to ask is, well, what is the difference between gossiping, whispering, and tale-bearing on the one hand, and simply sharing information on the other? You know, we might say to ourselves, well, whenever I speak about others, I'm just sharing information. But when someone else speaks about me, now that's gossip. You see, we can play those kind of games, can't we? Let me share with you some distinguishing marks of gossip versus just sharing information. Number one, it has to do with intent. With intent. Gossipers often have the goal of building themselves up by making others look bad. That's the idea. The intent of the speech is tearing someone down and thus building oneself up. It is exalting themselves as some kind of repository of knowledge, as some writer has said. So there is this distinguishing mark. It has to do with the intention of the speech. Secondly, another mark that differentiates gossip from just sharing information is the type of information that is shared, that is the content of what is being spoken. Gossipers speak of the faults and failings of others, are revealed potentially embarrassing or shameful details regarding the lives of others without their knowledge or approval. That's the idea there. They are speaking badly about others, and they're doing it without the knowledge of the person that they're talking about. Even whenever there is not necessarily any harm intended, it is still gossip when we speak in these terms. Now, what does the Bible say about this? Let me just share with you a few passages from Scripture. Let's turn back to the Old Testament book of Psalms. Psalm 31. And we're just going to look at several passages here that speak to this sin. Psalm 31 and verse 13. Psalm 31 and verse 13, it says, "For I hear the whispering of many, terror on every side, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life." Here David feels something of the force of the reality that people were gossiping. They were whispering in a sneaky and secretive way about him, with an intent that was evil and hateful, and with the desire to destroy David. "They scheme against me and they plot to take my life." Here, David was aware personally of having been the recipient of this terrible infliction of the sin of gossip. Now, turn over to the Proverbs. I want to read a few passages in the Proverbs which speak also to this sin. First of all, Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. And here we're going to look at verse 28. This passage here speaks about the consequences of having that kind of malicious speech known as gossip, talebearing, or whispering. Proverbs 16 and verse 28, it says, "A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends." Here we see the damaging results in terms of relationships of someone who is a gossip, a whisperer. They separate close friends. It's like a situation in the workplace or in the office. And you once had a very good relationship with people, and then all of a sudden, they just cut you off and they won't have anything to do with you. They were cold towards you. Something has happened. Someone potentially has said something for whatever intent or motive that has made that former friend now someone who is cold and indifferent and even hateful towards you. That's what gossip does. It separates close friends. Here in Proverbs, turn over to chapter 18. Just a page over in your Bible and look at verse number 8. Here the writer says, "The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body." The idea here is that people generally, in their unmortified, unredeemed humanity, have a delight, an appetite, and a desire to listen to gossip. There are many people who want to hear the latest gossip. And how we know this is true in a more cultural sense, you turn on the television and you have programs like TMZ, I believe it's called, where they're always sharing the latest rumor and gossip and the latest word about some celebrity. Well, they're now having marital problems, or someone's going to get a divorce, there's 30 minutes of that kind of stuff. You check out at the grocery store and you see all of these magazines that you check out. And all these magazines, whether it's a People magazine or the Sun or the National Enquirer, and they're just filled with stories that is what? Sharing gossip. Whether it's true or not, whether it has any iota of reality to it, and people eat it up. People desire it. They delight in it. They have an appetite for it. We know that if people didn't like it and didn't buy it, they wouldn't be selling it. It's because there is a huge market for those kind of stories in our culture. And it really just reflects what here we read in Proverbs, that the words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They satisfy, they titillate, they are something that people greatly enjoy to have. Here in Proverbs, turn over to chapter 26. And in chapter 26, again, we have a statement here about gossip and talebearing and whispering. Picking up with verse number 20. Proverbs 26 and verse 20, it says, "For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. As charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife." Verse 22, "The words of a whisper are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body." There you have in verse 22 a parallel to what we just read, emphasizing again by repetition just how much people delight and desire and have an appetite for gossip. In verse number 20, we have here, by way of positive example, where there is no gossip, where whispering and talebearing and about someone else is not taking place, well, what is the result of that? Quarreling ceases. Strife, animosity, conflict, broken unity and fellowship and relationships are not present because this kind of whispering is not going on. Now, if you would please turn with me over to Jeremiah chapter 20. Again, as we consider this sin of gossip and whispering and secretly speaking evil, critical words about others, we have this statement here in Jeremiah chapter 20. A congregation, I would have to confess that if you had any question about the bare-faced, very apparent and transparent nature of the Word of God, presenting the reality of man and his frailty, well, you simply look here at Jeremiah's complaint to the Lord. Here was the great prophet of Jehovah. Here was the one who was commissioned to speak the word of the Lord. And that very same prophet who spoke the word of the Lord says this in Jeremiah 20 in verse 7. He says, "O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. You are stronger than I. You have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocks me. For wherever I speak, I cry out, I shout violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. If I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart as it were a burning fire shut up in my bones. I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot." He says, on the one hand, if I speak your word, well, that I'm hated, derided, mocked, and ridiculed by others. But on the other hand, if I don't speak your word, it's like fire in my bones. It's something that I cannot keep in. I have to share that word. That's my calling and commission. Then notice what he says in verse 10. He says, "For I hear many whispering. Terror is on every side. Denounce him. Let us denounce him. Say, all my close friends, watching for my fall. Perhaps he will be deceived. Then we can overcome him and take our revenge upon him. What a statement here. Notice in verse number 10, this statement concerning what Jeremiah was experiencing. He says people were whispering about him, whispering words of hate and harm and criticism, and with a plotting, scheming desire to take him down, as it were. But notice, if you will, in verse number 10, the most striking thing about this: who are those who are saying these things? He says, denounce him, let us denounce him, say all of my publicly identified enemies, all the folks who have come up to me and said, I don't really like your preaching. No, he says, all my close friends, these are the ones who are speaking against me and speaking these words secretly in a sneaky way, harmful, hateful, destructive words. Notice in verse 11, he kind of, in this back and forth pendulum of this complaint, he says, but the Lord is with me as a dread warrior. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble. They will not overcome me. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, who tests the righteous, who sees the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them. For to you have I committed my cause. Sing to the Lord. Praise the Lord. For he has delivered the life of the needy from the hand of the evildoer. And then notice the pendulum swings back again, doesn't it? He says, cursed be the day on which I was born. The day when my mother bore me, let it not be blessed. Cursed be the man who has brought the news to my father. A son is born to you, making him very glad. Now here he's really walking a fine line. He's not cursing God. So he picks out the day he was born to curse. He says, cursed be that day. And oh, by the way, this innocent fellow who did me no wrong, who simply delivered the news of my birth, well, curse him too, he says. What a statement. Let that man, verse 16, be like the cities that the Lord overthrew without pity. Let him hear the cry in the morning and an alarm and at noon. Because he did not kill me in the womb, so my mother would have been my grave and her womb forever grave. What a statement he makes. Why did I come out of the womb? To see toil and sorrow and spend my days in shame. The Bible does not clean up its characters, does it? And here Jeremiah pours out his heart to God in this complaint. Words that borderline on directly accusing God. And yet, at the same time, he keeps his faith in the Lord. And he says, sing to the Lord and praise the Lord. But one of the sins that so grieved Jeremiah was that not only was his message rejected, but it was derided, and that by his closest friends as they gossiped and they whispered behind his back and they spoke those words of hurtful harm, desiring that he would fall and he would be greatly harmed. Well, it's an example here of the issue of gossip and whispering and tale-bearing in God's Word. Turn with me now into the New Testament, over to Romans chapter 1, a familiar passage to most of us, I'm sure. And in Romans chapter 1, we have, of course, this indictment of all humanity, where here the Apostle Paul is stating that all people are sinful and without excuse. God has made himself clear, and therefore the wrath of God is revealed against all unrighteousness. God's invisible attributes have been clearly seen, and yet rather than acknowledge their Creator, they rather worship the creation. And he says in verse 28, and notice here in this list of sin that he speaks of concerning humanity, He says, "For since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness and evil, covetousness, malice. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness." There's that idea of malicious speech, but in a broader term about all kinds of maliciousness. And then right next to that, what does it say? They are gossips. This certainly an expression of their malicious hearts. Slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but they give approval to those who practice them. And here in the list here of the grievous sins of humanity, right there in the very middle of the list, at the end of verse 29, they are gossips. They speak behind the back of others words that are harmful and hurtful and damaging to that person's character. One final place I want you to turn is over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Just seeking to have a couple of references in the New Testament as we consider this sin of gossip and whispering. And we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 19, of course, Paul writing to the church, the church had essentially turned on the Apostle Paul. And Paul here is trying to defend himself and his apostleship because of their very hateful attitude towards Paul. And in verse 19, he says, "Have you been thinking all along that we have been defending ourselves to you? It is in the sight of God that we have been speaking in Christ, and all for your upbuilding, beloved." He says, "When I bring up these matters, don't accuse me of self-serving motives. My motive is your upbuilding, your uplifting, that you would be conformed to Christ. If I speak against your sin, it's not because I hate you. It's not because I'm trying to build myself up. It's because I'm trying to help you. And I'm trying to minister to you." Verse 20. He says, "For I fear that perhaps when I come," that is his intention to visit them, "I may find you not as I wish, and that you may find me not as you wish. That perhaps there may be quarreling, jealousy, anger, hostility, slander," and here's our word, "gossip, conceit, and disorder. I fear that when I come again, my God may humble me before you, and I may have to mourn over many of those who sinned earlier and have not repented of their impurity, sexual immorality, and sensuality that they have practiced." Paul anticipates seeing them again, and one of those things that he feared would be present in their use of their tongue in an evil way is that they would have this spirit and activity of gossiping against one another, and even, yes, against Paul himself. So here we see the Bible speaking many times in many places, and we've just sampled a few places of this issue of malicious speech, of gossip, tale-bearing, and whispering. Now, I want to consider this morning, as we kind of bring all of this together on a practical level, where does this sin of gossip come from? In other words, what is the motivation whenever a person is a gossiper, a tale-bearer, a whisperer? Where does it originate, in other words? Well, obviously, we know that according to Mark 7, all sin originates from the heart, doesn't it? It really is all a heart issue, and it all proceeds from the heart. But in terms of the sin of gossip, several things I want to share with you. First of all, it can originate from what I am calling a sinful inquisitiveness. People like to watch those kind of programs and buy those kind of materials that have gossip in them because they have a sinful inquisitiveness about those matters. stuff that is not their business whatsoever, and yet they have a desire, an inquisitiveness to know about these things. Certainly, not all curiosity is bad. In fact, we ought to have a desire to learn and to study and to increase our understanding. Children can be very inquisitive, always asking questions about things. And if you've ever been around children, you know that is true. Not all curiosity is wrong, but the kind of curiosity that leads us to an unhealthy desire to get the latest word, the latest gossip, the latest criticism about someone else, obviously that is a sinful inquisitiveness. It is a desire to seek and spread rumors, and it is a desire to do so because we have this appetite to know something about someone else. Secondly, not only a sinful inquisitiveness, but a shameful self-centeredness. Gossip often comes because we are filled with ourselves, and we are filled with a self-centered orientation. You say, well, how is that so? Well, this idea of being self-centered often leads people to desire to have the attention of others. And what is one of the quickest ways to get the attention of others? Hey, psst, come here. I have something to share with you about someone. I just heard about this. Boy, you've got their attention now, don't you? Because people desire with an appetite to hear that according to the Word of God. And so this kind of gossiping spirit, repeating rumors, oh, it's a quick way to get attention. And there are those who desire that. They want to be the center of everything, and they will use any means, including gossip, to be the center of attention. That's self-centeredness. Another form of self-centeredness is a desire to shift anxieties. It's the old statement, misery loves company. Bad news goes swiftly, good news is slow. And for someone to share about someone else, well, that helps offload any kind of anxiety that they may have to you, build oneself up because you're in the know, and tear someone else down at the same time. Will Durant, the historian, said this. He says, to speak evil of others is a dishonest way of praising ourselves. Hey, listen. Let me tell you what he did the other day. Well, what does that do? It says, I'm not like him. I'm so much better than him. I didn't do what they did. And so it builds oneself up. It makes oneself the center of attention. That is all a self-centered type of activity. Sinful kind of inquisitiveness, a kind of self-centeredness that desires attention and wants to build oneself up. Thirdly, and I want you to turn here in the Scriptures over to 1 Timothy chapter 5. There is another place or origin or motive that this sin of gossip comes from. And it's what I would call a kind of idleness of life. Idleness, someone has said, you've heard, I'm sure, that it is the devil's workshop. We've all heard that from our earliest days. Well, here the Apostle Paul speaks of this issue of idleness as it relates to widows. Of course, the instructions here in 1 Timothy 5 have to do with how to deal and minister to widows in the church, distinguishing widows indeed and those that should not be, quote, put on the roll and the assistance the church has for widows. And let me just pick up our reading for the sake of time in verse number 9. He says, let a widow be enrolled if she is not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband and having a reputation for good works. If she has brought up children, has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, and has devoted herself to every good work, but refused to enroll younger widows. Well, why is that, Paul? For when their passions draw them away from Christ, they desire to marry and so incur condemnation for having abandoned their former faith. verse 13. Notice this. He says, besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house. That's the idea of tale-bearing. Going about from house to house, and they are not only idlers, but also, what's the word? Gossips. They are gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. Here we see that idleness can be the origin for this sin of gossip. And here the Apostle Paul points out this is a very real danger in the example here of younger widows being put on the roll. It might lead to idleness, and that leading to idleness will lead to them being tale-bearers, being gossips, being whisperers, potentially. And so therefore he says, don't let this be so. And so here we have another example of an origin from which gossip can take place. And then fourth and finally, this can come by way of origination from a spiteful bitterness we may have towards someone else. If we have a bad relationship with someone else, if our relationship somehow, for whatever reason, has been severed, that can be the very motive that we have to go behind that person and speak to others and share dirt against them, as it were. Bitterness, sinfully withholding forgiveness that we ought to grant to that person, even if they have offended us. A vengeful spirit trying to get back at them. Oh, not directly, not to their face, but behind their back with the words we speak to others. This, of course, is a root sin from which the sin of gossip can grow and flourish if it is present. Some of you probably heard of the man R.G. Letourneau. Very familiar person, at least in this part of the world. He was a very famous owner of a large earth-moving company that made large implements to move the earth for construction. And he is quoted as sharing this. He said, quote, "We used to have a scraper known as the Model G. Someone asked one of our salesmen what the G stood for. And the salesman replied, well, I guess the G stands for gossip. Because like gossip, the machine moves a lot of dirt and moves it very fast," unquote. Well, congregation, that is so true when it comes to the issue of gossip. It is spreading dirt. And when we talk about the tongue setting ablaze, it's talking about this kind of sin, isn't it? It's talking about whispering, tale-bearing, gossiping, speaking against others, about others. Maybe even not with the intent of being evil, but we speak things we ought not to say. Basically, the formula that we should have is, if you can't say it to their face, don't say it. And that is essentially the guideline that we should follow. If we don't say it to their face, don't say it at all. Let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we consider these words concerning this sinful speech of gossip, we pray that you would forgive us for those times when we have spoken evil of others. And Lord, we confess that we all struggle in various aspects of the issue of our speech. And we seek to, in an ongoing way, increasingly mortify the sins of our tongue. We pray, Father, that you would drive us to a place of brokenness and a place of repentance should we be guilty of any of these things. And help us, Father, that rather than speak ill of our friend or brother, may we defend their character in all things. Father, we pray that as we consider the realities of sin as it relates to the speech, those who do not know Christ may acknowledge that sin is that which you judge, And may they run to Jesus Christ, and may they embrace Him as the only one who truly is a sin bearer, who can take away and remove all of our transgressions. Father, we thank You that we have that forgiveness in Christ. And we pray that You would draw others to Yourself as well. We ask all of this in Christ's holy name. Amen.